Hi there, it's Heather from Watching Netflix Without You, the podcast. There are over 1,200 Netflix original feature films and documentaries, and that number is only growing. So I've made it my mission to watch as many as I possibly can. And with a delightful guest or guests in each episode, rate, review, and discuss each film. And that's about it. You can listen to Watching Netflix Without You on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
Welcome back to That Gaming Podcast, everybody. This is Ben.
And this is Alex.
And this is the show where we talk about the Nintendo and PlayStation games we're playing right now.
That's right. So join us as we embark into the world of gaming.
Let's do it.
Hello and welcome back to another episode. Hey there, Ben. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. We tried this once before.
Everybody. We tried.
And somebody, me, clicked on a link and then he's like, where'd you go?
I was talking just to the listeners if that clip made it out there. And I was like, what happened to the co-host here, the host here? So we are redoing our intro here. So
it's all right.
It's okay. It's Friday. By the time you listen to this here, it'll be Friday here. It's Thursday right now. It's the end of the week. We're all there. So we get it.
Yeah.
As always, we're going to dive right into the pre-notes, basically, of how you can help us and how you can contact us. And then we'll dive right into the topic of the actual podcast today. First of all, we do have an email address. You can ask questions, throw in your comments. If you want to rant about something you didn't like, throw it in there. That email address is thatgamingpodcast@gmail.com.
You want to rant about your podcast co-host who just clicks a random...
clicks randomly or there's a lot of static or something. Just lay it on us. Lay it on us. We'll take it. We'll listen to it. But no, if you do have like a comment about a game or something or anything, even if it doesn't have to even have to be like about a game out now, if it's something in the future, just you want to say something, say it. If you want name, I can't even talk today. See what you made me do today. If you even want your name included, let us know and we will read it on the episode and we get discussion going.
Yes.
We're open to it. So askthatgamingpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook that is our new entry into the social media. We only opened it a few months ago. And that is where we have all our episodes are there if you're a hardcore Facebook user. And we also have some video clips of game footage of myself or Ben playing. And we kind of compiled it with our recordings just to give you guys a bit of a visual look of games we're playing, that kind of stuff, should you need it. And lately, it's been more like a little activity board, if you would. I posted some screenshots of Horizon a few weeks ago. Ben has been posting some links. More recently, the announcement of Pokemon on there here. And you might see some more stuff on there as we continue to go.
Yeah.
So that's a good. That's another good way to get in
contact.
Yeah,
follow the page. That way, you know, if we do, if we, you know, I'm always checking news. And I'm pretty on top of the news. So if something hits on the news and you don't have another way and you just like using Facebook, that's maybe you're one person that only uses one social media, if you follow us on there, you'll see some of that news.
Exactly, that's a good way. Yeah, because it's not just a place where we just put our gaming stuff, it's also going to be some things that we thought are interesting or we're excited for, we will post here as well.
Just on occasion. You don't want to rely on me for every news thing.
I was going to say, don't rely on us. We're not GameSpot or what's the other, IGN or anything like that.
Right.
Of course, there's the review system. Whether you are on Apple Podcasts, you're on Amazon, you're on Google, you are on Spotify, leave us a review. Give us a rating. 5-star would be nice, but your honest opinion is what we really care for more than anything. If you leave us a review and a comment, it helps us with our analytics system in this podcast world where we can be put in up higher in the search results. So if somebody looks for us, or just search for a game that we covered, we will show up as a result there. And that will allow more listeners to come in, generate more conversation we can talk about. So help us help you, and we'll help you in return, I guess, after all that mouthful. Without further ado, we will dive in into the first segment, should I say, of our podcast. State of Play literally just happened Wednesday. So this is the day after. And we'll just talk about a quick, I wouldn't say reaction, but kind of like what we thought about the process overall. Ben, you said there were like 13 games, right? They covered in 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was 20-minute show on YouTube, and it was 12 games, and yeah, there were. It was mostly based in the Japan studios. So Konami was there, had a game, Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin.
So that, yeah.
Looked like a third-person action game. Mm-hmm. A lot of Square Enix games were in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Capcom had a game in there as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Returnal, Ascension. Yeah,
Sony Studios.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation Studios, I should say.
Those showed up.
The new Returnal. Co-op and survival mode,
mm-hmm.
and that's a free update
if you have the game. Yep.
Yep. And Ninja Turtles, I don't know who they're Nickelodeon and somebody.
Konami, actually, I think it was.
Is it Konami?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Back in the day, it was Konami,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Konami and Nickelodeon teamed up.
Yeah, so there was a lot of different games. There's a lot of anime-based kind of games or right. RPG kind of games, which is typical for Japanese studios. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostwire Tokyo was... So, of the Sony studio games, yep. Ghostwire Tokyo is in there. That's a Sony exclusive or PlayStation mm-hmm. exclusive. That comes out in a couple weeks on the 25th.
Very close, yeah, already.
And then, like we said, Returnal was in there. And then mm-hmm. also Forspoken, mm-hmm. which is only on PlayStation 5.
It's a new, yeah, new.
It's a Square Enix title mm-hmm. from the people who made Final Fantasy 15 back in 2016.
Wow, yeah.
So, which was a popular Final Fantasy
mm-hmm.
entry. So, yeah, there... What did you feel like was one or two games that you liked? I know we were kind of talking privately and we didn't see anything here that we were like taken away with or like, wow, that's right. a big announcement.
Right.
But was there anything you liked?
And there was actually looking back. So besides the Ninja Turtle, because that's more nostalgic for me. That I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah. One of the games, because I had to watch it a second time because... You're right. First, I was like, nothing that interests me. I was hoping for bigger announcements from like Konami and that kind of stuff, but yeah. that didn't happen. There is one game, though, which I looked at again, and I was like, oh, it actually looks pretty interesting, and it's the one called Trek to Yomi. And it looks like it's some sort of like... it reminds me a lot of Ghost of Tsushima, because it looks like you're playing as
me
a samurai
too.
Or something. Yeah, there you go.
And I liked it too, yeah.
Yeah, it looked very good. It's like, you know, the camera's on the side and you're going through levels and I guess attacking, finding your way through. Mm-hmm. But the game looked pretty sharp for being black and white. I yeah. thought it looked interesting and the graphics look gorgeous. I wonder if the black and white is like a mode, because in Ghost of Tsushima, you can pick a black and white mode or color. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if this is the same thing here or not. But that's pretty much the only thing I thought
looked
interesting.
I don't think it is, because they're just showing that only in the trailer, so it leads me to believe
you're right then, yeah,
that it, you know, it's meant to look like a classic samurai movie is what
you're
it
right.
looks like.
Yeah, you're probably right.
They show like the voice acting talent and the acting talent at the end, mm-hmm. like it says starring, and it shows the names with Japanese characters underneath the names, so
mm-hmm.
it's trying to go for like a samurai movie fans
it seems,
and samurai
yeah.
movie vibe.
Versus Ghost of Tsushima, an actual video game
right.
you know, intro. That makes sense. Right. And I never was into the Japanese culture of game. Like, as far as samurai, I never had any interest. Ghost of Tsushima was the first one to actually propel me into that mm-hmm. world, and I liked it. So seeing that kind of reminded me of that, obviously. And I was like, you know, I might pick that up here. Not quite sure. I don't think it'll be like my top choice I'll buy right away, especially with the big collection of games coming out this year.
Yeah.
But I can see myself picking it up on a sale, or maybe if it comes,
yeah.
you know, a free game.
It depends on price too, because it seems like a smaller
yeah.
indie game. I'm trying to scrub here to the end. Who's doing that?
Yeah.
Devolver Digital looks like.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
They've
well.
Made some smaller games on 3DS yeah. in the past, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe that's just the publisher. What does it say here?
Flying Wild Hog?
Yeah, I don't know any of those studios. Devolver Digital is a publisher, I think. But anyway, it looks like a small indie game, so maybe it's going to only be like $20 or something like that.
That's a good point.
And it could be just a quick little, you know, you could play it on a Saturday for 3-4 hours and be done with it kind of deal. Mm-hmm. I like that it had the cinematics of like a Ghost of Tsushima, looked like a movie. Yep. But then the actual gameplay was like Metroid, where kind of 2D Metroid, because it's a 2D plane. You're running across the 2D level and cutting down, you know, enemies as they pop up. Kind of speaking of Turtles, Ninja Turtles games, it was kind of like that a little bit too, where you're like, you're going from left to right on the screen. And
that's a good point.
It seemed very old school in that, in the gameplay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one really, I was like, what is this? I don't know if I just missed it on other State of Plays or it was announced on Devolver Digital had a showcase or something. So it was never on PlayStation. It was never, you know, showed up on a PlayStation video.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that really caught my attention. It says spring 2022, which
we're here.
I think it's spring right now.
I think next
although
week.
We're supposed to get snow this Saturday here in Tennessee. Ooh. So I have no idea what's going on. But anyway, so I guess it's going to pop up here any day now. Maybe we'll be talking about this in the next couple of weeks. I don't know.
Right, exactly. For me, that was essentially just that State of Play. That's what interested me this go around.
For me, I just kind of, I like just seeing other games, seeing what's out there. And I'm not necessarily going to buy any of these. I might not buy any of them. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you had expectations. You wanted to see a Metal Gear game, right?
A Metal Gear remake or a Castlevania. Yes.
See, I had no expectations. So I'm over here just like, well, that's cool. This game looks cool. You know, and some people who have expectations on the internet can be like, that was trash. Like, I was looking at comment boards on a news site and it's just like,
brutal.
There are people that are like, nothing really for me, but it was a cool presentation, you know, or some people are like, it was 20 minutes and they told us it was going to only be Japanese studios. So I didn't really expect much.
Right.
Like that kind of thing. Other people were like, Sony's weak. Xbox is so much better.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Yeah.
And you're just
that
like,
whole stuff.
Okay. You know, so everybody sees things differently is what I'm saying. And if you're out there and you feel like, you know, why is everything so, I either have to like it or hate it. You don't.
No, you
don't. It's fine. If you liked something and you never buy it, that's fine too.
Right. And to clarify on that, and then you bring up a very good point here. I did have expectations. I definitely do not think the show was like trash or low or anything. Even though I was a little disappointed because my expectations were high, because I thought, oh, this might be it, because you kept hearing rumors about this past year or so. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I feel like other game developers need to make their spotlight and their games heard. So this was a good intro for those new games, those new studios to be recognized. So was it a good presentation? I thought so. Was there, like you said, was there a game I would really pick up, I was really into? No, besides this one that was kind of interesting, but it wasn't like, oh, that's awesome. I want to, you know, go get it or something like that. Yeah. But definitely not a trash and that's essentially like that.
It is kind of like, oh, what is coming out then? What are we waiting for? Just God of War, I guess?
Right.
You know, that's kind of like, that kind of sucks. I have this fancy PS5 and there's not much here.
I was going to say, this is a little bit off our script here, but we should mention here because it ties in a little bit. The only thing that excited me that day was what you told me. And I was like, because I was like working or something, and you texted me. And Warner Brothers on Twitter came out and said that they have a release date for Gotham Knights.
October 25th.
25th. And that is awesome to hear. First, it was Halloween time. So that's perfect scene to go into
exactly.
it. I can see myself, you know, playing. It's like nighttime. It's cold. It's you know, orange from the leaves in the fall. I'm playing Batman. Oh, I'm sorry, not Batman. I'm playing Gotham Knights, really. And
it's Batman.
it's Batman in my head.
It's
I don't care.
Family.
So that was like the one excitement I was really interested about. Obviously, it's not a Japanese studio, so it's not going to be in the presentation, obviously. Right. But I was glad to hear we have finally have released it, because just like you, here we are. We got this next-gen console. We want to, you know, use its capabilities. And we are with Horizon or me with Gran Turismo 7. But like you said, what's next? What do we have next after this?
Yeah, so yeah.
We'll see.
And I think for me, some of the other things that look interesting was this Forspoken.
That looks interesting to me. Yeah.
I think I really like Infamous Second Son. And that was the last kind of superpowers video game that I rarely got into. And it looks kind of like that to for me. Just from this trailer and specifically, it was a lot of action oriented third person. She's throwing magic spells and jumping around and stuff. And it looked really dynamic on the screen. I thought it looked really cool. So I'm interested in that game. I don't think it comes out soon. I think it was delayed recently. Comes out October 11th. So,
oh wow.
You know, it's, I don't know if I'll pick that up.
Gotham Knights, right on the
corner. Because Gotham Knights comes around, you know, in 2 weeks later. But who knows? It might be one of them games that,
you know,
wait around a while and it goes on sale. I'm happy to see Returnal had some free DLC. It's Returnal 3.0. I don't know what 2.0 is. I must have missed that. I think that, I don't remember what it was, but. This gives you co-op, which would be really fun if we both had this game.
Right.
And then survival mode, which is this tower, Ascension Tower. And you have
to go up this tower,
endless tower. You have to keep battling.
Reminds you of Godfall?
Yeah.
Godfall, remember?
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like that. This seems more like intense, though. It seems more scary.
I agree.
It has red eyes. And it looks scary. Yeah,
I agree.
I don't have that game, so I'm not really...
Same.
The TMNT, the Cowabunga collection. So this is a crazy collection. This collects like arcade games. And it collects some games that are multiple versions of the same game. Like the arcade version of games. The NES version of games.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Super Nintendo games, which Turtles in Time was the one that I played the most on Super Nintendo.
I was going to say Turtles in Time.
And then it has Sega Genesis games in there as well.
Yep.
So they got... everything in this collection. It's $40. You get every Turtles game ever, it sounds like. I think it'd be fun because I only really played the one Super Nintendo one back in the
day.
It'd be fun to explore all these other ones. Oh, they had Game Boy Color
Game Boy games in there.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's on the Switch as well. I'm kind of leaning towards getting it on Switch. But, you know... I'll think about that when that comes out, or you know, if it's on a deal where it was $20, you know, half off, that's a steal. $20
for all those games. Yeah, I agree. And if you're into Ninja Turtle, that's a good collection to get right there.
I mean, Ghostwire Tokyo, not really standing out to me. I don't know. It looks interesting. It looks cool. I mean, it's kind of like the Forspoken a little bit, but it's first person, not third person.
It's first person, right.
And you're shooting like stuff out of your hands and doing all these crazy moves and stuff. I bet it's fun. It's just, I don't know. Something about it, I'm just not like really excited.
About, right.
And then this Capcom Dino Crisis, or Capcom's Ecto Primal is what it's called. That one looked interesting. It's like an online multiplayer where you're fighting together in a group and you're fighting against waves of dinosaurs, and I guess.
Right.
And
yeah.
It looked very Capcom. It's just wacky and weird and out there. And I'm not a huge Capcom person.
Right.
Like, I've never really played a lot of their third-person action games, but who knows? I don't know how this will be released, you know?
Yeah, I could see them doing with this one. I could be completely wrong. Time will tell. I could see them to try and get players. It could be one of those PS Plus free games.
It could be, yeah.
Down the road, like to get people.
I don't know. Because it's Capcom, I wonder if they would do that.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
You know, it's not a Sony Studios, a PlayStation Studios game.
Right, like they did with All Stars. That's a good point.
But, you know, is this offered at a lower price point? Because it's online and they want to gather a player base. It doesn't really say, you know, it just says coming next year. So that one's long off.
Yeah.
So
it might be, that's still ways to go.
That's kind of everything that I saw. I think I'll probably pick up the Turtles collection on a sale. If that black and white game we talked about is $20 or something like that, I'd probably pick up that right away. You know, if I'm really looking for something to try out.
To play.
But let us know what you thought about State of Play. You can reach us at the email like Alex talked about. You can find my Twitter account at TGPodBen. And, you know, just send me a DM there and I'll message you back. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And so, I guess we'll do...
Are you going to go? You go.
I was going to say, should we drive over to Gran Turismo 7?
Let's do it.
So I picked up the game literally the day it came out, because I am a big Gran Turismo fan. It was the first racing game I played on PlayStation 1. The first game racing game I played ever, period. Done. Finished. And there's something about it. Something about that stuck with me all this time. I didn't play every Gran Turismo. I played like one, skipped a bunch till the PS4, which was called Gran Turismo Sport. And then Gran Turismo 7 came out. And I'm still in the beginning of it, so I cannot talk about the whole game. It's going to be a work in progress, just like Horizon is. So far, first impressions, everything, I like it. I'm playing on the PlayStation 5, though, so if you're playing on the PS4, we might have different experiences. And I say that because the biggest thing I like is the adaptive triggers on the controller.
That's cool.
They did a good job with that here. When you're driving and you're like going over pavement or over a corner, you can kind of feel your car like, you know,
that's great.
On the road and stuff. It's like, oh, okay, I'm actually driving.
I would really like that.
I think you would. Or when you drive, like, automatic clutches, you know, or gear shift, you know, you can feel it. And when you hold R2 to press on the gas, you can feel like the engine, like, oh, I say the engine, but it feels like you're almost like pushing against resistance. Like, okay, let's crank it. Let's go.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did an excellent job using the PS5's technology. Obviously, it looks pretty. It looks very beautiful, sharp looking. The thing they could have done better, and you might see comments about that online, is the cars look great, that's all that matters about. The cars, the road, the scenery. The people, meaning the audience out there, they look like, I don't know, PS2 kind of looking people, because their hands are like glued together. Think of GTA hands like that or something. Some of them looked very weird. Now, I don't know if they'll fix that with a patch or not here, but the way I see it is, you're driving so fast anyways, you don't even look at them. They're like background noise to you. You're focused on the road in the car, and that's where the focus lies. So it doesn't deter from playing the game by all means.
I don't understand. People nitpick the smallest and dumbest of things.
It's like the part of the game that you don't even care about. You don't see them. Who cares? They're like background. Yeah. You're racing. You're playing a race.
Is the game fun? Like, that's what
that's,
we need. Why can't we get back to talking about that?
That's the question. Is the game fun, yes or no? And this one definitely is.
Yeah.
The game does a good job in walking you through and guiding your hand. So you and me, we're not big racers, Ben. As far as customization of the cars, everything. So the game actually asks you, hey, is this your first time playing Gran Turismo? Yes, it is.
That's nice.
Are you a beginner driver? Like, you know, what's your driving skills? That kind of stuff. You pick beginner, you pick intermediate. And in the game, I did, I think, beginner for everything except for the driving part. No, the driving I did beginner as well, because it's been a while since I played the racing game. And it does a good job in holding your hand, explaining things to you. You have a license center that you go through to collect a license. And it's basically like, you know, licenses from B national, A national to something else. I forgot the names for them already. But basically each license school, if you would, has like a set tasks, so like 5 or 6 tracks you have to compete in with a car. And they're different, like, you know, finish this in X amount of time track. Stop at this particular point, and, you know, in this amount of minutes. And there's like bronze, silver, and gold. You don't have to get gold all the time. As long as you get bronze, you basically pass the test and you can continue to the next one. Yeah. If you do get gold on all of them per school, you do get like a car unlocked. So it says to you right as you get in, it says all bronze, you get a car, and all gold, you get a car. Mm. And it won't tell you what car. Like, it's like a picture of a car with a drape around it, so you don't know what it looks like. So they kind of make you, to tease, like, what do I get if I do get a car? All gold. Exactly. Cool. So I went all gold because I want to get all the cars. And the game does a good job in making you want to collect cars, because there's like a collection of cars in your garage that's categorized by country or make, and they tell you, hey, the more cards you collect, the more points you get, and all that kind of stuff, because there's like a point system you use to unlock things with, not to unlock, you, it's called collector points, and that's what allows you to level up. That's the word I'm looking for. So the more cards you collect and the more races you finish, you get more points, more XP, should we say, to level up, if I'm not mistaken.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, fire away.
You said that there's beginner, and you did beginner on most things.
I believe so, yes.
Do you feel like there's still challenge in the beginner mode? That like you're losing races here and there, and you have to, you're not winning all the time, are you?
No, good question. Actually, I should dive into this. So yeah, it's still a challenge. You can't just drive around and, you know, not put focus. You have to pay attention how you brake, how you turn. One thing about the beginner is it also adjusts your driver settings. What I mean by that is you can pick beginner mode and you can adjust your driver settings yourself separately. So for example, if you do beginner mode altogether, they have like auto drive on for you. They have lane assist for you and some other stuff that really walks your hand over stuff.
Oh, okay.
I disabled the auto drive because I found out in certain points when you're trying to corner or turn, the car slows down for you almost. The engine is in its own control. And that can cost you time or positions when you're actually racing, especially in the license center. So I basically kept like some stuff like lane guidance because I don't know how to take a turn or where I should be when I do a turn in such a fast track. Mm-hmm. But no, yes, it's still a challenge to a good degree. It's not frustrating. And it's not easy. It's not like oh, I'm first all the time or anything crazy like that.
That's what I was wondering. That's good.
In fact, they tell you every time because each car has like a grade. I forgot what it's called. I think it's called like CR, they call it. It's like a point system. And it tells you, hey, to enter this race, make sure your car is at least 500 points or something like that. And each car you unlock tells you how many points there are. And that point reflects their performance, like engine speed, top power, etc. And obviously, you can upgrade those by upgrading your car in the tune shop. The tune shop is the place where you will customize your car. You know, exhaust, computers, engine, tires. If you're a mechanic, you know what you're looking for there, essentially here. That's like your little candy store, if you would. There is a separate store, which is where you do more cosmetics, like paint jobs, decals for your car, decals for your driver, because you can customize your helmet, your suit.
Oh, my goodness.
Put sponsorships, put colors. That's fun. That kind of stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool. There. Yeah, a lot to do there. You can even have car washes there if you want to. So for dirt racing, nice. They even have oil change. So get this, your car, when you have a car in the garage, it tells you how many miles you drove, the oil condition, the condition of the car and everything. So if it needs an oil change, you take your car to this other place and you do an oil change. They want you to keep your mechanic on it, basically.
That feels like it'd be a little too much to where I'd be like, I just want to play. I don't want to.
It's not too bad.
It doesn't get in the way?
No. It's not that terrible. Like, I've driven one car for, like, I don't know, 5-6 races, and it still says I'm doing good with stuff.
So it's more realistic.
Well, and think about it, the tracks are so small, some of them. So it says, like, for one car after 4 races, I only drove 27 miles altogether. So, So it's going to take a while for you to run out of oil or have to change your oil or something.
But it'll tell you, like, hey, you need to do this.
Yeah. If you want, you don't have to, because at the end of the day, think about it, you have all these collection of cars with different grades. So you don't have to play with one car. You can select the other car and continue racing if you want to. So there's that.
So you unlock cars quite a bit.
Yeah. Per race as you finish in certain races, you unlock cars. There's mission they give you as well you can do. And some missions are like, hey, complete this race. And so you can collect all three front wheeling Japanese cars or Japanese compact cars. So they'll tell you, get these three cars by completing these three races. And you go and win the race and that kind of stuff. And they're easy. A lot of time to collect those cars, you need to get your mission complete. This is like, you must finish at least third in the race. So it's not like you got to finish first all the time for that. A few quick other things here in the game that I really enjoy was they have like something called Brand Central. And that's where you can get basically all the cars. It's like a car shop. All the manufacturers there that are in the game. But it's not just that. It's almost like a museum also. So you can go like to Ford or Chevy and it talks to you about the history. their first car.
That's
where
cool.
They did. Yeah, and they showed like a showcase of all the cars in the showroom and that kind of stuff. It looks really pretty. It looks shiny and everything.
But it's not, do you read it or is it kind of presented?
You read it. You have to read it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. I think some of them have like a little video clip you can press play and you can watch. Hmm. But I just went to BMW because I like BMW so far. And I did a lot of reading. So I was reading through the history, like, oh, okay, they were like, you know, a plane engine company first. And then they talk about, you know, not every car, but like the historic turnaround for them, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then if you're reading your car history, once they've done the car history, they actually continue a little bit about what happened in the world, like 2019, COVID hit, which they actually have that in the game. Like 2019, COVID, all that stuff. And then 2020, the vaccine came out. Yeah, it's like a timeline of the world history and that kind of stuff and what you've been through and all that good jazz. So it does a good job with that. And then lastly, I did some online racing. There's like a GT Sport, I think it's called, where you pick a car, but you have to meet the specifications. So it'll tell you you have to have a car that's less than 140 horsepower and it's a compact car and has this or that. And they do that to make it fair because it's all about skill. It's about racing being first, but it's also about skill. And the race online grades you. What I mean by that is there are like certain ratings in the game, whether you are a clean driver, a dirty driver, and there's something in between. So basically what they mean is if you're a driver that's like, I don't know, playing like GTA, crashing into people and purposely slamming into them, making them run around or whatever like that, you're going to get penalized for it, meaning they're going to grade your profile, your driver profile to a certain grade and put you in that pool of people. But also, as
so you're being with everybody else trying to crash you.
Correct. And even if you do that and you still play with bad people, what people need to understand is if you crash into people on purpose or spin them out or something like this, there are penalties in the game. Like they'll give you like a time penalty or they'll give you like a yellow flag. You can't go past or you can't pass people for a certain time limit. So the game is really about strategic racing, clean racing. Cool. So I've been playing and I've been finishing like almost last. It's funny because it's like 20 cars in a race and I'm playing. I'm always last person because my qualifying lap is not fast enough because people take out their cars already. I don't have the money yet, which you earn money by completing races,
right,
single player and multiplayer. And if you're patient, because I enjoy driving, so I miss patient driving, people start to rage quit. Somebody spins up ahead and you see they disconnect. And I'm like, oh, I was like 16th place. Now I'm 14th place. Okay, perfect. So you still get a little bit of a victory. Yeah, exactly. Because at the end of the game, it'll tell you, hey, you went up 3 spots or something. So the game does a good job on encouraging you. Like, hey, you don't have to be first every time. You went up 3 spots. That's awesome or whatever, basically. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a good game. That's all I have for right now because, like I said, it's still very early for me. I really need to dive into it a little further, and maybe in a few weeks, if we come back to it, I can talk more specifics about it. But if you're playing it, let us know in the email, and then I want to hear what you guys think, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious about it. It's just I played it in the past, and I don't know. Sometimes it just felt like it was cold a little bit. Like it was I don't know. The music didn't. It just, I don't know. And I moved on and went to something else. It just didn't grab me, I guess. But I always appreciated the level of quality that series has. It's such a high quality game. And so all the details are really nice. And the menu systems have really nice sound effects. And it feels very Nintendo to me. It's just
it does.
Every little thing is scrutinized and looked over. And every small detail is paid attention to. And it's a good there. It's a good series. I definitely will think about picking it up down the line.
We could do a share play on PS5.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. We should do that whenever you're kind of relaxed. I know you've got all these moving things going on.
Yes, exactly.
Just real briefly, I'll talk about this game. It's not a huge game that I've been playing, but I've been playing this on Switch and it's only $5. I saw, I follow a lot of news, like I said, and sometimes they'll show, on news sites, the North American downloads for the Nintendo Switch, and it'll show you all the games that are available this week. And, so I'll check on that sometimes and see if in the comments, like, what are people picking up? What's going on? And this one just popped up and somebody mentioned they had been playing it for like 3 weeks since they bought it. And it was only $5 on the Switch. And I was like, hey, that's a pretty good deal. And Nintendo Switch doesn't have a very, doesn't have a, an NFL game. So there's not really any way to play football portable, which is kind of a shame because football games are quick and easy to play. Like I can play them on Madden on the PS5 and I can play in like 20 minutes. I can have a game done. So you can play like a couple and then you're done for the night. And, you know, you go watch a show or whatever. So this is pretty cool because it's like a retro version. So it kind of looks like a NES game, but it's a modern game. So it has modern level graphics and it's, you know, it's 1080p, it's HD. So it's not like pixelated or anything. But what the game basically is you pick a team. You're the coach of the team. You can also pick players. You can also pick your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Right. They all have rankings, stars. They all have, you know, whether they're a good player, what round in the draft they are. You know, round one players obviously are better than round three players. Things like that. They have a draft as well in the game where you get three picks every year and you can pick from a bunch of different players, try to get your best team possible. Mm-hmm. And then you try to go through the 18 game season and try to win the Retro Bowl, not the Super Bowl, cause that's trademark, but it's the Retro Bowl.
Retro Bowl. And, okay.
Basically the game is very simply controlled. You press A to hike the ball. You move the joystick to hike the ball, and then the characters will run on the screen, and you'll see them like kind of running their routes. You use the joystick to just aim where you want to throw the ball, and you press A to throw it. And if the player catches the ball, you become that player, and you start running. If you want to run down the field further, they might tackle you, and then you start again. At the line, if you want to run, you just press B, and the ball carrier grabs the ball, and he starts running. So it's very simple controls.
Yeah.
It could almost be a mobile game, honestly. It's so simple.
Sounds like it, right.
And the quarters only last 2 minutes. So a game lasts, in game time, that's 8 minutes to play a game. So you're looking at like 10 minutes to play one game. So you can kind of sit in bed and just play like a couple, two or three games of football. And you kind of manage your team. And the teams are... The characters in the game are kind of entertaining too. Like they've got some funny football people names and just here, for example, my roster, I've got Lando Culburn is my quarterback. I've got Yasir Orkeri. I don't know how to say these names. Virgil Yeldon, Jake Pride Jr. You know, they just got these different, and they
random
have little,
names.
Little pixelated sprite characters. And some of them look like famous players and other ones just look really goofy. This one guy I have, he looks really mean. He has like angry eyebrows. He just looks like kind of scary looking. And then my coaches, I have one guy that has like a flat bill cap on. He looks like the Buccaneers head coach. So it's just... There's a lot of little nods in here. If you like football and you are a big fan of football like me, it has little touches like that where you're like, you can tell that they're a big fan. But when you load up the game, it's very simple. I'm showing you here, Alex, you just have a couple things on the bottom that you can pick. And then you just hit continue and you play your game. There's not a whole lot to manage. Yeah, you can manage your players and stuff, but you have to have so many credits to buy new players off the free agency.
Right.
Or you have to have so many credits to buy a new coach, and you earn credits kind of slowly. So you're really going to spend a lot of your time just playing games and earning as many credits as you can. And then you kind of over seasons, you know, you're meant to play like 3, 4, 5 seasons with the team. You're kind of building your credits and building your team, and hopefully you eventually make it all the way.
To the Retro Bowl.
Yeah, and you can be traded to other teams as a coach. So I was going to pick the Atlanta Falcons, which is my favorite team. It doesn't have any of the sub names. They just say the Atlanta team, the Carolina team, the Green Bay team is in the game. But they don't say Falcons because then that'd be trademarked. So I was going to pick Atlanta, but it said, why don't you pick a lesser skilled team like Carolina, for example, and then maybe Atlanta will come calling and they'll hire you. And I was like, that's fun. That's cool. I like that. So I'm playing as the Carolina Panthers right now in hopes that Atlanta likes my performance and hires me later down the line. So it's just a nice little like narrative with the game that's cool that I didn't expect to find in a $5 game.
Right.
That they have this kind of things will come up on the screen too that are funny. And it'll say like after a game, it'll say, you know, whatever his name was, the quarterback, Lando Colburn was out partying really late with the defensive players and he got caught at the club and now is in jail and had to be bailed out of jail. Something like that. Got in trouble at the club or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, do you praise the player or do you put down the team?
Right.
And it has like penalties of like, you might lose one or two credits. If you do one, you might lose morale in the team, which is not good. Then they won't play well in the games for you. Like they might fumble the ball or drop the ball and stuff in the actual games. So you have to kind of make these decisions. And there's these funny little stories of like what's going on outside the game and stuff. So I just encourage anybody, if you're looking for a quick little, you know, bite-sized snack kind of game.
Of Madden, yep.
And you want to play like football like that. If you've liked old school Madden, I know there's a lot of people that loved Madden on the original Nintendo. This feels like that. It's very much like that. And it's only $5. So
you're not losing much there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
So I think I'm going to get a lot of fun games out of this thing for only $5. So, but
can't go wrong with that.
That's all I have to say about that. Alex, are you going to buy a Switch so you can play Retro Bowl?
No.
Is that going to be the system seller?
I add it to my backfill of games like we have already with everything you sold me on already. So time will tell.
We'll see.
But yes, with that being said, that's all we have for today. Thank you once again for listening in.
Yep. Follow me on Twitter. Like I said, you can find a way to share the show on there if you haven't already told us about tell us to your friends, tell us everybody you know about the show. We want to get everybody we can listening. So see you next week. That's it.
See you next week, folks. Bye.